Are we on?
Yeah.
Oh, we're live. All right.
That's excellent because we're like talking about snacks. We're just talking about this Whittaker's. What is it? Burnt buttermilk or caramelized something or other. It's real mean. What do you
It melts very well. Like, just blends in. The butter, like the butter bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, shit, it's good. Oh, it is. It just blends in real quick.
All right. Welcome to Snacks and Chats.
What's up? That's how we start.
I'm Lani.
I'm Ben.
And this is...
Israel.
Israel Adesanya?
Yeah. Oh, you said it right. Wow.
Yay!
No, most people never say it properly. It's like, Adesanya. I'm like, no. But Adesanya, yep.
Or otherwise known as the style bender.
Yeah.
When people ask you where you're from, mm-hmm. what do you tell them?
You tell them, well, it depends what part of the world they're asking from. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm away fighting somewhere, where you from? New Zealand. Because that's what I'm fighting out of. But if anyone asks you, like, here, like, where are you from? Okay, like, Nigeria. Because I don't really look like a Kiwi. So they always have to, like, okay, where are you from? Even, like, some people that are born here, you have to make sure, like, okay, where are they from? So I just tell them Nigeria.
So when did you come here?
From 2001. Nigeria?
Yeah.
October 2001, yeah.
You remember it very clearly?
Mm-hmm. I remember it. Yeah, it was weird because I didn't even know where New Zealand was.
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to move to the States at the time, but then America happened. This 2001, 9/11.
Of course.
So my dad was like, I don't think America's going to be safe right now. So right. We decided to move to New Zealand. I was like, where's that? Is it a new country? So I just thought New Zealand. But I moved to Rotorua first. And studied there, intermediate, and high school. Yeah, it was fun. Then Whanganui, and I think I did about 3.5-4 years there, and then Auckland now. So that's what I call home.
What are your first memories of New Zealand? Or, you know, when you think about hopping off the plane and, you know?
Rotorua was a sulfur. I smelt it straight away. Like, yeah. Once I got to, because we drove from Auckland to Rotorua, and it was like, this place smells weird.
Yeah.
It was like farts. Yeah.
It's
like,
it's a great first place to
get used to it though, honestly. Like I miss the smell sometimes. Like sometimes I'll fart and I'd be like, yeah,
Rotorua.
Yeah. Go to Vegas, G. That's Vegas, bro.
Yeah.
But first memories was just the smell of Rotorua, but then after that, I don't know, it was a small town, it was quiet. It seemed like I was on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of things, like little things I see on TV as a kid, like from Nigeria, I'd be like, I've seen this before.
Like what?
Example, the way kids played in the cul-de-sac, because we lived in the cul-de-sac, you know, so I never really, you don't really have much of those back home. It's just straight roads leading to other roads or whatever. But that was one of my, and making friends with those kids, that was one of my first memories I had.
Why did you guys move to New Zealand, or why did you guys move from Nigeria?
Well, first, just better education. Like, yep. my parents wanted, like, more recognized education, because even if you get, like, a good degree back home, sometimes, you know, in the Western world, they won't recognize it, and you kind of have to, like, you know, start again.
Mm-hmm.
Example, my mom had to go back to school. She's a nurse now, a registered nurse, and I meet a few taxi drivers, like, Indian taxi drivers, who are, like, doctors back where they're from and, like, you know, architects and whatever, but then they come here and they have to like drive taxis, you know, not demeaning about that, but they could be like, they know a lot more than you think,
yeah,
you know, but the education or their qualification is not recognized properly in the Western world, so they have to do that.
So your mom was a nurse?
Yeah, she's a nurse now. Yeah. No, back home she was a businesswoman,
right?
So yeah, she ran, I think, a business with eggs, rice and beans. My dad was an accountant. He's always been an accountant and a businessman. Yeah, she had to go back to school to be a nurse just so she could, you know, provide more for the family as well. So now she's a fully qualified registered nurse in Whanganui.
I mean, how difficult was it to adjust to life in New Zealand?
Mm-hmm. Difficult. Not really at first, because I just thought, you know, it was all good. It was easy. Like, the main thing was the prejudice when I first, like, came through as a, you know, the young black boy that just rose up in school.
Yeah.
So everyone was like, ooh, who's this guy? But most people were cool.
Yeah.
Then you get like the kids who just, they don't understand you, and they're like, who the fuck's this guy? What's he doing? But like, I always say, I never thought I was black till I came to New Zealand. It's a weird saying. Like, I never knew I was black. I was just like, I knew my skin was different, but then some kids would make it seem like a problem.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't even like, I know you're not white, but back home, or back then, I would be like, oh, she's white.
Cause to
like,
me?
Yeah, to you. Because, yeah. Like, I mean, one time a principal pulled me up because a kid was bullying me, and he was like, so was he Pākehā or was he Māori? And I was like, what do you mean? It's like, well, was he brown or was he white? I was like, it was white. I was like, they're all white, you know, compared to like, me. So I'm black, so I was like, oh, they're all white. Yeah. So I was really naive. I didn't know the difference. Even the way I sounded, I didn't know I had an accent until I said the word art. And yeah. They're like, say it again. I was like, art class. They're like, art class. So I was maybe 11 at the time. So I was just oblivious to everything around me. I just kind of lived as, you know, just a new kid in the block.
Was it quite young or quite early on that you realized that you wanted to fight?
Nope. I wanted to be a dancer. I dance once in a while, but I don't battle anymore.
Right.
But like, yeah, I dabble, you know. Black Magic was my moniker as a dancer. But and that was what kind of got me my street cred as a kid. Like, I think Rotorua Boys High, I won Talent Quest 2 years in a row. And yeah, I knew I can work. I can move. I can cut up a rug. I should say it that way. But yeah, I was either later on, once I found fighting, I was like at a crossroads, like, man, what do I really want to do? Because I was studying at that time, I think, UCOL in Wanganui, studying computer graphic design. And I was like, do I want to be a fighter, go the route, like choreographer for Usher, Chris Brown, Britney, all those guys? Or do I want to be, a dancer? Or do I want to be a fighter and just do this? Because, you know, I can always dance. I could still go to like different, you know, like events and dance and whatever, but I can't just beat people up on the street. It's just, you know.
No, yeah.
It's not going to happen. So,
but wait, eventually. Wait, so you were at that level where you could have, that was a viable option for you?
Not yet. Skill-wise, yes.
Oh, I mean, in terms of dancing.
Skill-wise, yes. But then the connections, I knew a few people, but I just knew like that's what I wanted to do. But then fighting came along and I was like, ooh. I might want to touch this as well, but I figured eventually I can always dance. I can always, you know, have my own production company one day. I still plan on doing it and just doing my own creative, you know, avenue, doing different things. But fighting was like, you have a small window, and while you're still young, I don't want to be like 45 and be like, man, I could have done that. I could have been world champ, but you know, this, I didn't want to make excuses, so I just went through. I think it just kind of, I got drawn to it, so it just chose me in its own way.
Well, because you need footwork for fighting, right?
If I was a shit dancer, I'd be a shit fighter. Rhythm, timing, footwork, and creativity, the way I think, is different to other fighters as well. So that's a big part of why I'm the fighter I am today.
And when you talk about it sort of chose you, or you were drawn to that, or whatever, like, what does that mean?
It chose me. Man, my first fight, I fought this guy, Mac. I think
he's in
jail now.
How did you get to your first fight?
Okay, so I watched the movie. I didn't even know anything about fighting till 2005, back when Sky 1 was around. They were showing the first season of The Ultimate Fighter, and that's the UFC, you know, the big show. And I was just like, man, this is crazy. You never pay me enough to do this, but I'd love to be Dana White and be the matchmaker. Like, that was my, man, I want to put this guy against this guy and watch and just, yes, dance, my precious. Like, that was my view on it. Like, I want to do that. But then later on, I watched this movie called Ong Bak. It's the movie kind of made Muay Thai famous to the world. And then my boy Kai, it's Kyle. I met him in, I think, Stella one time in Wanganui, and he just,
what's
tall
Stella?
Guy. It's a club, the only club in Wanganui.
Okay.
The only club. Just go down the Ave, you'll find it at the end. And then, he's just a guy, 6'9", he's a nice guy, soft face, but just tall, so he's imposing, he can't hide. I was like, fuck, what do you do? And he told me he does Muay Thai. I was like, oh, can I come do it? And he's like, yeah. And then 6 weeks later, I had my first fight. Wow. And I fought this guy, Mac, who looked like, it was supposed to be, I think, at 83 kgs. He was not 83 kgs at all.
He was like over 100.
Maybe 96, maybe 100. But then he was shorter than me, had this hair like David Tua, like that high, high top fade. Looked real mean just looking at me in Porirua, just like mean mugging me. And I was looking at him in my head, just blank face. But in my head, I was thinking, what are you doing here? You're not a fighter. What are you doing? Because I used to get bullied at school a lot as well.
Yeah.
So I had like real bad self-esteem issues. So I was like, the fuck, what are you gonna do? Okay. And then first 10 seconds, I think I knocked him down with a push kick. And then from there, my confidence just like skyrocketed. And I like won all fight, all three rounds. And I was on a buzz for about 5-6 weeks, just like, fuck, I wanna do this again. And then from there, I've been tasting that since, but I've been trying to catch that as well. And I keep catching
first tie.
Yeah. I keep catching certain milestones. when I achieve a certain goal, I keep catching it as well. But yeah, it just captured me. So like I said, it chose me.
What kind of, I mean, I imagine, you know, like someone like me, I'm like, oh, it'd be cool to fight. Like, it'd be cool to punch someone. That'd be mean. But I imagine,
there's the flip side.
But I'm also like, you'd need a different mentality to also be hit yourself, I feel. Like, I feel like people imagine the glory of beating someone else up.
Yeah.
But once you get hit, right?
Like, oh,
then it switches. So how? What's the kind of mentality that you need, or what is it about you that fighting works for you?
Well, how I deal with it, like Mike Tyson always said, you know, everyone has a game plan till they get punched in the face.
Yeah.
Once you get hit in the face, some people I've seen, so many people. I'll tell you a little story. One time I was at Tom's. There was a guy playing the violin one time, like, and there was like a big hoedown in the club, and I was like, fuck, this is crazy. No, straight honestly, I was playing the violin and it was beautiful. Like, everyone was going in and I was enjoying it as well. So I thought, I'll go say so up to the guy. Just say thanks. That was great music. And as I was going, this guy, like corporate guy in the suit, was looking at me and just like did that to me, like waved at me, like, go away. And I was like, what? He says, go home. And I was like, hold up, I'll be back. And I wasn't going to say thanks to the violinist guy. And I came back. I was going back to my table. I was like, who the fuck do you think you are? Like, he was shocked. Like, what the fuck?
Oh my gosh.
And I like talked to him and he's like, oh, no. And I was like, no, what are you saying go home for? But someone like that has never been punched in the face.
Yeah.
They've never been punched in the face. Once you, or sometimes, no, honestly, because there's no, absolutely no reason you should look at me, gesture away and say, go home or whatever. But if you punch someone like that in the face,
they're not going to do that again.
They would realize, like, oh, okay, this is a thing. You can't just go around talking shit to people because you never know who you might run run up on. But, how I deal with it, I just accepted it because, well, not right now. I've got chocolate in my teeth, but I feel like I've got quite nice teeth. So I wasn't proud of them. And I was like, man, I hope no one ever knocks my teeth out with a knee or with an elbow or something.
Mm.
And I think within 2 weeks of starting training, I accepted it. Like, look, one day you might get your teeth knocked out. So once you accept it, you can overcome it. It's easier said than done. It's better. You have to practice it. Example. So recently, my last fight, I got knocked out. Mm. I got slept, like, flatlined for about a good 10 seconds. And I was like, okay, try and get up. Because his corner jumped in. So the referee had to extend the count because he had to control the chaos in Brazil. And I was trying to get up. And everything just felt numb. I tried to use my hands to stagger up and just like, I was like face down, ass up. So I was just on the ground and my corner called the fight. But now that it's happened, I feel, oh, that was it. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm fine. I'm healthy. You know, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be because every fight always has this thing in the back of their mind. Like, I don't want to get stopped or I don't want this to happen. And right, right. But once it happened, once I get my teeth knocked out, knock on wood, it won't happen. But once it if it happens, then I'll be like, oh, it's happened.
That's what it is.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just it's a mind fuck. So now that it's happened, I'm like, oh, sweet. So for anyone who's never fought before, they always get, I don't want to get punched in the face. But trust me, once you're in there and the adrenaline's going, when you get punched, it's like tic-tacs. You don't want to get punched. Trust me. Avoid getting punched at all costs. You want to save your brain and you want to win the fight. But it's nothing. Like, once you get punched, it's feels like nothing, and you can just go back as well. This is where you test who you are as a person. Like a fight, I feel everyone should have a fight, even if it's a corporate one or just a training, sparring or whatever, just because you know who you are. You can't hide. Whoever you are will show in that moment because there's the pressure, the lights, your family, you know, a lot of people or whatever. And if you're cunning, if you're brave, if you're crafty, if you're a bitch, if you're, you know, sly, whatever it is, it will show in that moment. So yeah, for me, how I dealt with it, just accepting it, like this, you know, this is going to happen, deal with it, and I overcame it.
Because I was wondering about that fight, because the fight prior to that was, Jason, do you say it, Wellness?
Wellness.
And,
because
I watched it, and it was very, like, it was like you weren't getting off how you wanted to get off, you know? I feel like people afterwards were like, you should have won the fight, but maybe, I don't know, you should have, like, done more or something. Yeah,
exactly.
Was that in your mind?
Not that itself. So even, like, right now I'm fine. Like, you know, I got stopped. I'm like, yep, I lost. I can take it. But the ones like that where I felt like, even though I wasn't my A game, I still won. Those are the ones that hurt the most. Cause I'm like, fuck. What if I could have, should have, da 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 da. You're just shooting yourself. So you just stop. For me, in that fight, it just felt like I hit the guy. Like, we both knew. After the fight, you and the other guy know who won. Because you were both the ones, like, doing the deed.
Yeah.
But he was, like, there. You saw his head hanging low. And his coach had to come and, like, raise his hand to, like, pump him up. Because all he got off was, like, leg kicks.
Yeah.
And the point of leg kicks in a fight, especially in kickboxing, is to slow your opponent down. So when they slow down, you can work the body and the head. Because the head is the main prize in fighting. You never hear a coach tell you, like, don't go leg hunting, son. They tell you, don't go head hunting. A lot of guys just want to hit the head and they go swinging and miss and all that stuff. But me and him knew what happened. But I'll see him later on.
Yeah.
Now Pereira is the top of my list. He's the next guy. But I give it to him. I was like, it's a good story for him because first round I stole. Second round, I beat the brakes off him like he was out on his feet. But like I said, that previous fight affected me in a way where it's like I was hearing people say, don't let it go to the judges. You know, like that. And normally, it's not even my style. Like when I hurt someone, the commentators are always surprised. Like, oh, he's not going after him. I'm like, nah, he's not done yet. I don't just like, it's not throwing punches at someone. Because I see people do it on the UFC on TV and I start yelling at them like, oh, just take a step back, assess the situation and pull the trigger. And I've done it many times in my career. But this time I just like, I didn't even throw lefts. I just threw like right hands at him. Just right hands. And it was just so silly. And that's the bit that hurts me the most. Because I felt like I dishonored my technique, what I would normally do myself. Because something seeped in through the cracks. Like, you know, other people's opinions. And that's one of my affirmations I say. It can't be my business what they think of me. So I let that seep in. And I just threw 100 right hands at him. And that's the bit that hurts me the most. So I'm like, fuck. I had him. Like, honestly, he was ready. Like, there was a point I hit him. He's right. I'm right in front of him, and he's looking at me that way.
Yeah, because like, he got the eight count,
yeah. But, and he's tough, though. He didn't go down. But I think it's because I kept on punching him. I kept him up. But like I said, it's a good story for him because first two rounds, he's down. Only way he can win is knock me out, and he got it done. So I like, you know what? And he's also got another win, another shitty win against me. This is in China, I think, maybe July, August. So it's one, like, me and him knew what happened. I was like, I whooped your ass, but then he got the win. I was like, fuck. So now I'm like, okay, I'll see him later on. He's at the end of the list. So I've got some other guys to deal with first. Then I'll get to him. Because now I've been there. I've seen what he can do. I never say lucky punch. That's a stupid term. If someone's trying to hit you on the face and they hit you on the face, it's not luck.
It's not lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, he just timed it well. It was just a well-timed shot in the scramble when I was brawling. And advice, don't brawl, please. Do not brawl. Just be smart and fight safe.
Yeah, no, I just thought it was interesting. It was the other fight, really, that sort of seeped into that fight.
Because
honestly,
normally, if you look at, which fight is this? Daniel Roberts, King in the Ring, the second fight of the night, is a tall heavyweight guy. In the first round, I rocked him with a jab, and he gets some wobbly legs. And I try and rush him. I was like, oh, no, wait. Like, oh, there it is. Boom, and I got him, and he knocked out cold. That's what I normally do. But this one, I just went at him and just like, not even left, just straight right hands. And I'm just, I'm embarrassed by it. That's for me. Like, it's just, that's amateur. Like, that's something you don't, like, you do when you're like, you know, 2 months in the game. It's like, just windmills. So, yeah, I've learned from it, though. And I feel like I'm free. Like, the unknown's happened now. So now I know. I'm like, oh, I'm fine. I'm still alive. But now I've been there. So I feel like he's, in hindsight, he's done me a favor. It's something I have to learn from, so I'm happy with it in that sense. But I still hate losing. Fuck losing.
You've always said that the UFC is the goal that you're working towards.
Mm-hmm.
So what does the last couple of fights do to that goal? Does that have any effect on it?
Not for the MMA stock, because MMA, I'm still winning. I haven't had an MMA fight in a while, more than a few months now. But it doesn't affect the stock too much. But bargaining wise, I feel like I don't like coming off, you know, if I'm going to go into a negotiation agreement right now, I wouldn't do it right now because I feel like I'm coming off 2 losses. I need to get back on that column. But now I'm just going to take 3 months off, relax and do my own thing. Still train, but just let everything heal. The UFC, it's still the main goal. At the end of the day, though, I have a short window in this game. You know, I'm not going to do this forever. I want to make as much money as I can, get as famous as I can, and bounce. And China right now is where they contracted me in a way.
Like, and you've just got a huge fan base there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I don't even realize it, so I forget all the time. But, yeah, like, even bigger than New Zealand, like, it's huge because they've got 1 billion people, so it's nothing to them. Yeah. The last, like, straight up, like, the last show I did in China, they fucked up, though, because they didn't account for the weather, but it was an outdoor stadium. Supposed to be 60,000, but I think 40,000 showed up. And by the end of the show, because of the rain, maybe about 25, 30,000 were left.
That's still insane.
Exactly. It's a big show.
That's like, what, 3 times Victor or something?
Exactly, yeah. Vex is my 16. But yeah,
I don't know, but whatever. It's massive.
It's massive, you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
I love China. I love the people. I love working there. But the UFC is where I want to go because I still want to be that household name in the Western world, you know, like a McGregor or a Rousey. Mm. But the way the UFC is running right now, because they, you know, they got bought by WME and a lot of fighters aren't happy. I just don't want to start on their starting rate. I just don't want to go in there and be one of their little fighters, you know, because I'm active. I'm always fighting. Last year, I probably fought close to 25 times. And I think in the Western world, apart from the Thais, in the Western world, I might be the most active fighter in the world and winning. Not like some journeyman who just takes fight, gets knocked out. Oh, I'll take my money and go. Mm. Like, and winning. So for me, it's not just the money aspect, it's the activity. I want to be active because I don't want to be on the shelf, because there are a lot of fighters in the UFC on the shelf. And if you're making 8 to show, 8 to win, and you're on the shelf, and you might fight, if you're lucky, 3 times a year or twice a year, you might as well just get a regular job, you know? So I don't want to come in there with that kind of contract. I want to come in there and then the respect that, hey, this guy is leaving, you know, some good situations just to come work with us. Let's honor that. Either make the pay bigger, give me more fights, something. But I just know the stock's going to keep rising, like... Even right now, it's a little speed bump, a little wobble in the way, but the stock's going to keep rising.
Yeah, it's interesting you mention McGregor and Rousey, because I was going to ask you specifically about them, and I guess like Mayweather as well.
That's they're kind guy. Of
yeah, they're sort of the blueprint for self-promotion
100%.
And jumping up, you know, like pushing so that they get the fights.
Exactly.
And, you know, like
you want people to want to see you fight, and I never knew what it was about me. It's my face, the way I talk. I have a face you want to punch sometimes. But I know people have, some people, I look at their face and I'm like, fuck, I want to punch that guy. I have that face. So people like either want to see me get punched or eventually they become fans and like, fuck, it's quite good. Fight promotion has always been part of fighting. What the WWE did was hijack that and just oversaturated it, just made it into this drama. But fight promotion has always been part of fighting. It's just natural. And I'll tell you how. So high school, like, say at lunchtime, you and me go into a scrap, like, you know, or like a little tussle or whatever, and go, oh, 1 ounce, then after school come. Fuck yeah. It's like, yeah. They'll be like, yeah, sweet ass. From that point, from lunchtime till after school, all everyone doing is talking about the fight. That's all they're doing. They're like, you know, what's Izzy going to do? Oh, fuck. Oh, now nah, he'll fuck him up. And if they see each other in the hallway, you know, they'll still talk shit. Like, oh, you wait till after school. Come, fuck you. And then the hype is just like there. It's palpable, you know?
Yeah.
And then, ring, ring, 3 o'clock, everyone runs to where the fight's going to be.
Yeah.
And then you see one guy on one end walking. I remember this moment. This is like back in the day in school. And I see like, I think his name was Malaki. He was fighting some guy from outside the school. And I was just watching them like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. And Malaki smoked the guy. It was a good fight.
Yeah.
He just toes the guy. Sometimes the fight sucked. But it's just the anticipation of a scheduled fight. And it's always been part of fighting. But what, like I said, WWE has done now is just oversaturated and like make it this, you know, like just like a drama, like a soap opera. And I used to watch it when I was a kid, but I don't know. I grew out of it. That's for me. But I watch guys like Mayweather. They still run the game well. Chael Sonnen, McGregor. You know, they know how to captivate an audience. They know how to keep you interested. And I want to see what video is going to come out on him next. I want to see what fight's going to be in next. And that's what you want to be. And a lot of people want to say, oh, no, I'll just rather get in there and fight. It's like, well, cool. You stay on the prelims, you know, while we run the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You know, we be the headliners. You can stay on the prelims. You know, and everyone now is trying to call up McGregor after the fights because they know, you see Nate Diaz.
Payday, right?
That's it. Yeah. You get that fight, you know, that's your money fight right there. Because McGregor is the only money fight in the UFC right now.
Mm.
You know, and he's trying to do the smart thing and go after Mayweather, who is the money fight of the world right now. And Mayweather's trying to get that fight as well, but... What I think they should make it interesting, just to make it interesting, is like have it a boxing fight, but with MMA gloves. Just kind of even the playing field a bit. Because with 10-ounce gloves, you can hide. There's a lot of things you can do with that you can't do with 4-ounce. I still think Mayweather will win just based on boxing prowess, just his skill. His prowess is just ridiculous. But with MMA gloves, I think it's a little... little monkey wrench in there. So it's gonna be like, oh fuck, what's gonna happen?
Yeah, I was wondering, I think you've already answered this, but I was wondering if that's sort of also what's whack about fighting, though, is for the people who can talk themselves up, yeah, they get the fights versus people perhaps with, like, equal skill but just don't they just have really, that personality or whatever.
There's a guy on McGregor's team, Gunnar Nelson. He's a guy from Iceland. You guys might not know him as much because he's not. He's very, like, stoic. He'll be like, I'm so excited right now. Like, his face is just blank, like fatal. Mm. But he's got a big fan base. He's like, everyone has something about them that's marketable. Mm. It doesn't have to be like some bravado or rah-rah-rah, but everyone has something about them that's relatable to the fans. You just have to find out what it is, and the promoter has to push that, zone in on, you know? That,
yeah.
But thing is, with 500 fighters on the roster, you have to pick, you have to kind of like weed out the outliers, the ones that are going to shine the most. And doesn't have to necessarily, like, skills does the work as well. Because McGregor didn't just get to where he is with his mouth.
Mm.
Skill, I mean, talk all you want, but if you can't back it up, end of the line. You're back in the prelims. But, I mean, a guy like, let me see, Junior Dos Santos, he's a heavyweight. He's on his run up to the heavyweight title, because he became heavyweight champion, he was just knocking everyone out.
Yeah. You
know, he's Brazilian, doesn't speak very good English, but he was just knocking everyone out. And that was what everyone was like, oh, fuck, this guy's a man. They followed him. But I agree. Like, it's what sucks about it as well.
Who would be your, like, ultimate fight? Who would you love to go up against?
Right now, Michael Bisping. Just because he's the middleweight champion. And even right now, I'd whoop him. Honest to God. Because my wrestling and my grappling has been... It's a secret. I don't really, you know,
talk
about it much. But I want people to think I suck. And I do. I do suck at grappling. But come find out how much I suck. But even with my level right now, I would fight him tomorrow, honestly, and I'll take him out. Michael, strike, even if you want to kickbox, he's supposed to be a kickboxer.
Yeah.
I'll take him out tomorrow. But if you want to do full MMA, Michael Bisping's the middleweight champion right now, I'll take him out. So he'd be my ideal fight right now just because he's a champion. Everyone's trying to fight him.
Because he's got a mouth on him.
And thing is, I love his story as well. When they make the movie, it's going to be so glorious because he...
And he's always getting fucked up, but somehow, exactly, like, wins.
Honestly, man, he got the belt now. And I was surprised because I never, in my wildest dreams, think he'd be middleweight champion.
Yeah.
I always thought he'd be... Because he was always right there, but then gets fucked up, gets knocked out. Always right there and then loses a close decision.
Mm.
So somehow he was right there, 2 weeks' notice or 3 weeks' notice, got a call up. Jumped on and beat Luke Rockhold, knocked him out in the first round. And I was like, yo, wow. Like, it's just a beautiful story. Like, they got to make a movie about that. But end the movie with me fucking him up.
Kiwis are not used to your type of personality. Yeah. You know, we love people to be, like, hashtag humble. Yeah. You know,
there's a track your boy did, not running. I can't remember the line now. Planes couldn't fly. Oh. I can't rap. You know the one I mean. Yeah, there's a line in there. I always honestly wrong with that. Whenever anyone brings that up, it is the attitude, though. They like to try and, like, dim it down. Like, oh, I wasn't even trying. If I was trying my best, I would have smoked them all. But it's like, why? Why you want to do that? Just say what you want to do. Because everyone wants to win. Everyone wants to... If you're in a profession, you want to... I don't know anyone who doesn't want to be the best, personally, or who doesn't want to produce their best.
Yeah.
But a lot of people want to, like... You know, dim it down and, like, oh, just in case they fail, so they have the safety net. Like, the attitude is, I agree. It's a culture thing. Now, I've always tried to figure out where it comes from, but I still haven't pinpointed it.
Mm.
But I know it's a Kiwi culture where you don't want to be braggadocious or say what you want to do, because you might fail. And if you fail, oh, shame on you, huh?
Because did you find when you were first coming up, people didn't take to you very much because of that personality?
I think half and half, but then... People will meet me, like, example, I'll be at a bar drinking, and if someone start talking to me, they'll be like, fuck, bro, you're a lot different on TV, eh? I'm like, well, I'm not trying to fight you. If we're in a fight right now, I gotta beat them mentally. I gotta, like, a lot of people are weak mentally, I noticed that.
Mm.
So I can smell it, like, from the wins, honestly, from the wins, you can smell it.
Yeah.
Like, when I did the heavyweight King in the Ring, I walked in with a tray of a 12-pack Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm not a heavyweight, you know, the limit was 100 kgs, and I, like, walk around maybe 93, 92, so I walked in, and I weighed in fully clothed with a Dunkin' Donuts on, I was eating, and I went around everyone, donut? Some took it and had it for later, but people were like, oh, fuck this dick.
Yeah, and
I'm like, what, I'm just being nice. I can't even offer donuts if people were going to criticize me. But, I can smell fear, I can smell when someone's looking for an exit, because we have the fight or flight response, but what they don't tell you is the other F, freeze. It's fight, flight, or freeze. A lot of people just like deer in the headlights, and I can see it. So when I see it, I'm like, oh, I'm like a shark that smells blood, and I just zone in on it. I can't help it. I was never like this. I kind of created it. So I start to like.
Oh, yeah. So where did. I was just going to say, like, where did this come from in terms of.
I think it's Nigerian as well because of the blood. Because I noticed a lot of Nigerians, fighters, boxers from back in the day, they're very braggadocious. But even just my people as a culture, like, we're very flamboyant. You know, we like to not flex like in a bad way, but we like to show off, like, this is what I can do. Like, that was my initial way was dancing. That's how I like to show off.
Dancers are the biggest show offs.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Nah, straight up, honestly, like, I am a show off, and that's the thing. I like to, if you've got these skills, you know, show it. Like, if I'm in a club for the longest time, I'll just be there like, fuck, you know, I really want to move, but I'm scared everyone's going to think, oh, who's this fucking guy?
Yeah.
I think you're the man. But now they don't even care. I'm just like, I've been doing this since I was 12.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to stop now because some people might think, oh, this guy thinks he's the man. Oh, fuck him.
Yeah.
I still, like I said, I don't dance anymore. I don't battle. But the game is just, it's like, it's part of you. You can't let it go. Honest to God, man, you can never let it go. It's just, it's like, how do I describe it? Todd, I said, like, it's like hygiene. You either get it or you don't. You either crump or you're not.
Yeah, okay. You know what I
mean? Like, when some people see it, they're like, the fuck is this guy doing? But then, that's the same way I felt about the haka as well. When I first saw it, I was a kid. I was watching this golf. Or not even, I was scrolling through the channels, but it was an ad on ESPN. Mm. And this white guy, like, just slapping his legs and doing all this thing. And I was like, what the fuck? This guy's crazy.
Yeah.
But then living up in Rotorua, growing up in Rotorua, I finally understood, oh, this is what it is, what it means to the people. And I even learned my school haka. And in the school comps, they used to put me at the front because I went in 100%. I was in there like, fucking kind of everything. So we'd get extra points because, you know, foreign kid. But for crump, when you look at it, you got to feel it. Like, some people, you just got to, it's like fine wine. It's an acquired taste.
Mm.
I don't know, caviar or whatever, but yeah, I just love dancing. Anything that has to do with it, but something that comes from the soul, expression from within, that's where crump came from for us. Like, I love watching the game, man. I think even last night I was watching clips of, you know, Lil Tight, you know, Rapture all doing their shit. But yeah, I love it.
So much of what you, when you talk about dance, so much of that I feel applies to.
Do you dance as well?
No, fuck.
Just like two left feet.
Yeah, I'm just like lean back. Yeah. No, but I was just like, so much of that I feel like you could say, and it would apply to fighting as well. I mean, I know 100%. We've already talked about that, but yeah, as you're talking.
No,
I'm
dude, like, break. Yeah. A lot of things can, like, fighting. Every day you wake up is a fight. Like, in the winter time, that's the biggest fight for me. That warm bed, a blanket, I wake up like, oh, I don't want to go. I'm not ready. But I have to go because I want to get this done. So I do. That's a fight. Everyone wakes up and they have to fight. Just in different, you know, different arenas, different avenues.
Mm. And so what would be your advice to people who want to fight?
Don't. Yeah. No. Yeah. I would say, depends what level you want to do. If you want to have a fight, just say you want to have a fight and you've done it. I advise that. Everyone should test themselves. Dedicate 8 weeks, you know, to change your lifestyle and become a fighter. If you want to get a national belt, national champion, possible. But the higher you go, the bigger your goals in fighting, the harder it gets. Very, very hard. They will tell you, man, when you tell your parents what you want to do for a living, they're not very receptive. Especially in my culture, I'm Nigerian, you know, you got to either be a lawyer, accountant, doctor. Yeah, oh, you know. What's your heritage?
Samoan, my same, dad's same. Samoan, yeah.
So, you got to be someone in the, you have to even have a degree. Up until maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, if I told my dad right now I'm going back to school, he'd be like, why? What's wrong? Why do you want to, know? But before that, you know, he was still like, oh, you should still get a degree. Or just, and I'm like, dad, I got a degree in whooping ass. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
I'd say the higher you go in the game, the bigger your goals, the harder it gets. Like, there was nights, you know, me and my dog Millie, I had a puppy, and I had to give him my steak just so I could eat the rice because I didn't have enough money for food for him, you know? And it was times when, you know, you have to sleep at the gym because you can't afford rent, you know? And those are things that make you they strengthen your character. You know, you become champion of those kind of, you know, those kind of adversities. And yeah, it gets hard, but it's worth it at the end. I still don't feel like I'm at the end, but It's worth it. I'm enjoying the fruits right now. But I'm greedy. I'm very greedy. I can't help it. I want more. I'm not done yet.
So 3 months, you're rested, sort of thing.
I'm just going to chill for the next 2-3 months. Just no sparring at all. No like hard contact. Just going to roll. Jiu-jitsu, wrestling, and you're going to lift. Lift, get stronger, get more explosive. And yoga as well. I'm going to get back into yoga. I'm going to work on my Chinese. A lot of things I've just kind of like, put off.
On your Chinese?
Yeah.
Have you been learning? Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Now, I lived there for about 9 months, so I got quite good speaking Mandarin. But then being here, I don't use it as much. So it just leaves you. But I can understand certain things, like key phrases. I listen to them when you're talking about me. I'm like, I know you're talking about me. I don't know what you're saying, but I know you say some shit about me. But I think that's going to help me with my profile over there. Because I've got, I think, 7 or 8 more fights on my contract.
In China.
Yeah, which I'm supposed to blow through. Like, I had 3 other fights lined up. So that was going to be, like, quick. And it was supposed to be end by October, August. I would have finished that contract. Then we could have looked elsewhere, but still negotiate with the Chinese. But the Chinese, what they're going to do is just add on to it. So, like I said, I like having that aspect, but I've got bigger goals as well. Short window. If the UFC is not going to do what I want them to do, as in like reward me for what I think I'm worth, I'm never going to sell myself short. Sorry, I'm going to China. I'm going to get my shit done there. I'm going to leave my legacy in China.
Sounds good. Anything you want to ask or anything you want to add?
Thanks for having me.
Sweet. Thanks.
Thank you.
That's the first one we've ended where like on not a depressing note. Usually we're talking about like death and shit.
Oh shit. We can go there.
I was like,
why does that happen?
It just happens somehow. Like,
maybe if we talked about death, I can find a silver lining because we don't know what happens after this. I was like, hey, what happens? You might come back as a whale.
That'd be nice.